Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Thursday class, 31 July, 2025, 3rd John.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God this evening to 3 John. 3 John. It's a very, very short letter, and it is absolutely fantastic, 3 John. And we're going to see one of the greatest believers ever in the ancient world, and we're going to see one of the worst believers ever in the ancient world, all in this little epistle. In preparation to worship our Lord, let's pray. Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for one more day of freedom in Client Nation, USA. The freedom to assemble in a Bible teaching church such as this one, and the freedom to worship you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. The recipients of 3 John include one of the greatest believers in the ancient world. His name was Gaius. By the time we finish, you're going to love this guy, Gaius, as well. The Apostle John loved Gaius. In fact, this may be the same kind of a love that the Lord Jesus Christ had for the Apostle John. The Lord Jesus Christ loved the Apostle John with a great love. In fact, when Christ was on the cross, he turned to John and said, "You take care of my mother, Mary." And he is even called the disciple that the Lord loved in the Gospel of John. And in the same way, the Apostle John has the same kind of virtue love for this great believer, Gaius. Now, I'll tell you something right now. In the United States of America, we need lots and lots of Gaiuses in this country right now. This guy was the best of the best. And you'll see that as we continue our study in 3 John. So we have a man named Gaius. And by the way, that name was a very common name at this time in history. That's verse 1. Gaius was a prominent leader in the church. We don't know where the church, the Bible doesn't say where that church was located. Other believers had to come into town. Possibly an itinerant ministry. Gaius treated them with the royal family honor code. He had the uniform of honor on in his soul. And when these people came, some of them were missionaries, came, He treated them graciously with virtue love. He was a very gracious and generous believer. He had the uniform of honor on in his soul. He lived his life by the royal family honor code. That's Gaius. And then we also have one of the worst believers in history. His name is Diotrephes. And he was also in the church. He was arrogant. He was living in the cosmic system. He had no respect for the authority of the Apostle John. He rejected the Apostle John's teaching of the Word of God. He's here as well. So we have the best of the best, and we have the worst of the worst. And we noted the outline last time, and we stopped there. Verse 1 is opening greetings. Verses 2 through 8, the influence of Gaius. Verses 2 through 4, his fantastic spiritual life. Verses 5 through 8, his gracious and generous treatment of God's ministers and missionaries. And then in verses 9 through 11, the indictment of Diotrephes, his selfish ambition, verse 9, his evil production, verses 10 and 11. And then verse 12, the introduction of Demetrius, and then the concluding remarks and benediction, verses 13 and 14. So let's get started on this great epistle. Verse 1, opening greetings. It starts out the same way the Apostle John starts out, the same way that he did in 2 John. In the King James, it says, the elder unto the well-beloved Gaius. We have the nominative singular of presbyteros with a definite article. The proper noun Gaius, the dative singular of the adjective agapetos with the definite article. So the Apostle John starts out 3 John the exact same way that he started in 2 John. And he describes himself as the presbyteros. P-R-E-S-B-U-T-E-R-O-S. In fact, we even get the word Presbyterian from presbyteros. Now, this word is a term describing the spiritual gift of pastor. The Apostle John has the spiritual gift of apostleship, but we know he also has the spiritual gift of pastor. And he is the pastor of this church, wherever it was located. And the teaching was non-face-to-face, but he had the gift of apostleship, and he had the gift of pastor-teacher. So, a couple of things on presbyteros. Great word. And this is one of the terms that describe the spiritual gift of pastor-teacher. I have the gift of pastor-teacher. I am the presbyteros of Upland Bible Church. So, what is a presbyteros? You have the word elder. I am not an elder. I'm getting older, but I'm not an elder. And so let's find out exactly what this term means. One, presbyteros is one of the terms in the New Testament that describes the spiritual gift of the pastor. There are several terms that describe the gift of the pastor. And we studied those terms in great detail in 2 John. I'm not going to go into it again in great detail. I encourage you to go to your 2 John notes and go over those things. We're not going to do it here, okay? The other term, I'll just give you the names of those other terms for the pastor. He's called a poimen didaskalos. That's a pastor teacher or shepherd teacher in Ephesians 4:11-13. He's called the episkopos. That's the guardian and the policymaker of the local church. He's called a diakonos. That's the minister of the local church. He's called the kerux. That's the herald, the one who announces the policy of the king, Jesus Christ. And he's called presbyteros, our word, the commanding officer of the local church. So he starts out with this term, identifying himself that he has another spiritual gift besides apostleship. Presbyteros is one of the terms in the New Testament that describes the spiritual gift of the pastor. Two, so we know that John had at least two spiritual gifts. He had the spiritual gift of apostleship, and he had the spiritual gift of pastor-teacher. Now, he may have had several other spiritual gifts, but these are the ones that the New Testament scriptures identify. Three, presbyteros means the old man. Now, the old man, not in the sense of being old chronologically, but it means the old man in the sense of being the highest authority, the commander, the commanding officer. So presbyteros means the old man in the sense of being the highest authority in the local church, the commander of the local church, the commanding officer of the local church. Four, presbyteros emphasizes the authority of the spiritual gift of pastor-teacher. Presbyteros emphasizes the authority of the spiritual gift of pastor-teacher. And one of the reasons why Gaius is a man that the Apostle John absolutely loved. This was his best friend, his dearest friend. He loved John more than maybe anybody else, just as the Lord Jesus Christ loved the Apostle John. He loved him because Gaius had 100% total respect for the authority of the Apostle John. 100% total respect, genuine humility for the authority of the Apostle John. And that, just as John had the greatest, John was right step for step with the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything the Lord Jesus Christ taught, the Apostle John got it, nailed it, all the way through, again and again and again, because he had perfect, genuine humility, maximum respect for the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why the Apostle John, best friend, dearest friend, and he's going to say this, he's going to use a special word, agapetos, several times in this short epistle, describing this believer, the best of the best, Gaius. So the presbyteros means the old man in the sense of being the highest authority, the commander, the commanding officer of a local church. Point four, presbyteros emphasizes the authority of the spiritual gift of pastor-teacher. Five, John is not only an apostle, he is also a pastor-teacher of a local church. So again, once again, there are several terms, at least five different terms in the Word of God that describes the spiritual gift of pastor-teacher, and I refer you to your notes in 2 John where I covered them in great detail. All right, then we have the dative singular of the proper noun Gaius, modified by the adjective agapetos. The dative case is the dative of destination recipient. Third John was written to the Apostle John's dear friend, Gaius. And he describes him with the term agapetos. A-G-A-P-E-T-O-S. And he doesn't just identify him with agapetos once. He repeats it again. And whenever God the Holy Spirit has the apostle repeat, repetition, it's time to listen up because there's something that's very important being communicated here. So agapetos, a verbal adjective that means beloved, and it means dear friend. Beloved, dear friend. And then the proper noun Gaius. That's a diuresis, in case you didn't know what that was. G-A-I-O-S, Gaius. Now, Gaius was a very common name throughout the Roman Empire at this time. You know a Gaius. Well, at least you've heard about him. Gaius Julius Caesar. He was a Gaius. It was also the name of several Christians about whom little is known from the Word of God. There is Gaius from Corinth, and he was baptized by the Apostle Paul, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 14. And he also showed great hospitality to Paul, Romans 16, verse 23. So there was Gaius from Corinth, and then there was Gaius from Macedonia, Acts 19:29. And then there was Gaius from Derby, not Kentucky Derby, but Derby. There was Gaius from Derby, Acts 20, verse 4. And then there is our Gaius here in 3 John. So it was a common name in the Roman Empire at this time. So, one, the Gaius in 3 John is a dear, dear friend of the Apostle John. Maybe his best friend. He's a dear, dear friend of the Apostle John. Two, Gaius is a spiritually mature believer. And the Apostle John loves him very, very much. Gaius is a spiritually mature believer, and the Apostle John loves him very, very much. Three, that verbal adjective, agapetos, there it is again. That verbal adjective, agapetos, tells us not only is Gaius a dear friend of the Apostle John, but John also loves Gaius with great virtue love. So the verbal adjective agapeta, and he's going to repeat it right away a second time. That verbal adjective agapeta tells us not only is Gaius a dear friend of the Apostle John, but John also loves Gaius with great virtue love. The Apostle John loves Gaius just as the Lord Jesus Christ loved the Apostle John. So the corrected translation, the old man, the commander, the presbyteros, to my dear friend Gaius. And then he adds, just in case you didn't quite get it, whom I love in the truth. And this is the accusative singular masculine of the relative pronoun host plus the personal pronoun ego with the present active indicative of agapao plus the prepositional phrase en plus the dative singular of aletheia. Well, we've had that a lot in 2 John. We have it in 3 John. The relative pronoun host is in the accusative is correctly translated whom, and it refers to Gaius. And then we have the Apostle John, one of his favorite words. We saw it in 1 John, we saw it in 2 John, we saw it in 3 John, agapao. A-G-A-P-A long O. Agapao. And agapao is the Apostle John's favorite word for virtue love. Favorite word for virtue love. And with the personal pronoun ego, this is very, very emphatic. Ego puts the spotlight on the Apostle John's virtue love for Gaius. And then we have N plus the dative singular, which is the dative of sphere, in the sphere of aletheia. Aletheia, A-L, long E-T-H-E-I-A. And this, not simply truth, this is the word for absolute truth. Absolute truth. The absolute truth of the Word of God. You're here this evening. You have a Bible in your lap. That Bible in your lap is the absolute truth of the Word of God. The Word of God is absolute truth. Aletheia. God is absolute truth. Veracity. Jesus Christ said, I am the way and the truth, aletheia. I am the way and the absolute truth and the life. And no one comes to heaven where the Father is except through faith in me, Jesus Christ. And then Jesus Christ in his great prayer, maybe the greatest prayer ever offered to God the Father. Father, sanctify them by means of aletheia. The absolute truth. Then he said, your word is aletheia. Your word is absolute truth. So I hope that you all get that great appreciation for what you have. The absolute truth of the Word of God. And then you want to anchor your soul to that absolute truth of the Word of God. In fact, when you realize that and you realize the living and true God, Jesus Christ, then you will set up spiritual priorities. And you'll put spiritual priorities number one in your life. God and His Word. And when you get to that point, that God and His Word is the number one priority in your life. Not all the other. There are a million distractions today. And a lot of these distractions are not sinful. But you wind up making yourself a loser in the plan of God. Because you are distracted away from the number one spiritual priority. God and the Word of God. So we have verse 1. The old man, that is, the commander, the presbyteros, to my dear friend Gaius, whom I love with virtue love in the sphere of absolute truth. Absolute truth of the Word of God, Bible doctrine. All right, now that brings us to, we get to get the spotlight on this guy who is the best of the best. Gaius is the best of the best. And that's verses 2 through 8. In verses 2 through 4, 2, 3 and 4, we have his spiritual life. So let's start out in verse 2. And the Apostle John's, and we always start with the King James, beloved. He starts, here's the repetition. Here's the second time in two verses. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health. Now I've been told I'm supposed to use my diaphragm when I'm teaching the Word of God and not use my vocal cords. But I get excited sometimes and use my vocal cords and then I strain them. So, cheers everybody. Me. Yeah, getting better. Don't you have to worry, I'm not going to take your job. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health. This is the vocative singular of the verbal adjective agapetos, repeated, plus the present middle indicative of elkomai, plus the prepositional phrase peri, plus the genitive plural of pos, plus the accusative singular of the personal pronoun su, with the present passive infinitive of euadao, plus the conjunction kai with the present active infinitive of hugiaino. There's a good one. The verbal adjective agapetos is repeated. Once again, it means beloved, dear friend, fellow member of the royal family of God that I love with great virtue love. The vocative case is the vocative of address. And then we have the verb elkomai. Elkomai. E-U-C-H-O-M-A-I. Elkomai. Okay. One. Literally, elkomai means to pray. This is one of the verbs for prayer. Two, elkomai also means to wish and desire. And oftentimes in your prayers, you wish and desire the very best for people. Three, Gaius is on the Apostle John's personal prayer list. The Apostle John has a personal prayer list, and he goes through every single day. And right up there on that prayer list is Gaius. He is on the Apostle John's personal prayer list. Now, I have a personal prayer list, too. And I have a lot of people on that personal prayer list. And I go through that every single day and pray for some people are not doing too well health-wise. They're having some major tests health-wise, I pray. We had Joe here, had some serious heart surgery. You were on my personal prayer list every single day praying for you. And God answered those prayers. Now he's ready to go run a marathon here pretty soon. So good job by you. But I have my prayer list, and I enjoy praying for the people on my prayer list. Four, both the Apostle John and Gaius have this in common. They both have maximum metabolized doctrine in their hearts, and therefore they both have a powerful and effective prayer life. The prayer of a grace righteous believer is powerful and effective and accomplishes much. The prayer of a grace righteous believer, that's a spiritually mature believer. The prayers of a spiritually mature grace righteous believer are powerful and effective and accomplish much. Both John and Gaius have this in common. They both have maximum metabolized doctrine in their hearts, and therefore they both have a powerful and effective prayer life. Five, therefore they both have great capacity for virtue love. Virtue love has been brought to completion in their hearts. They both have personal love for God the Father, impersonal love for all mankind, occupation with Jesus Christ, and that impersonal love for all mankind, that motivates you to pray for others. To pray for your friends and pray for your enemies. You pray for all of them. Five, therefore they both have great capacity for virtue love. Six, the Apostle John's prayer for Gaius includes two specific parts. Two parts. That Gaius might el odao, and that he might hugiaino. You go, oh boy. Now, first, point seven. John's prayer for Gaius is that he might el odao. That's E-U-O-D-O, long O, el odao. Now, this verb is a compound word. You probably recognize some of this. There's el. El means good. That's the word good. Odao, we have the noun haras. And haras means road. That's the word road. So we have el and then haras, road, good road. So literally, el odao means to be led along a good road. That's literal translation. To be led along a good road. It means to get along well. It means to prosper. It means to succeed. So to get along well, to prosper, to succeed. The Apostle John is praying that Gaius will elodao. Be led along a good road. Prosper, succeed. And then, hugiaino. H-U-G-I-A-I-N, long O. Hugiaino. And hugiaino means to be in good health. To be in good health. To be healthy. And then we have the preposition peri with pos. Peri plus pos. P-E-R-I-P-A-S. Peri plus pos means in every way, in all things, in everything, in all respects. So peripos, in every way, in all things, in everything, in all respects. So, corrected translation. Dear friend, I pray that you may succeed and prosper in everything and be in good health. I pray that you may succeed and prosper in everything and be in good health. And John prayed this for Gaius every single day. And then he adds, even as thy soul prospereth. So this is the adverb kathos plus the nominative singular of suke with the definite article plus the genitive singular of the personal pronoun su plus the present passive indicative of euodao repeated. The adverb kathos looks like this in the Greek, K-A-T-H, long O, S, kathos. And kathos indicates a comparison. And you correctly translate it just as kathos sets up a comparison between one, succeeding and prospering in temporal matters, just as he is succeeding and prospering spiritually. So first of all, it sets up a comparison between succeeding and prospering in temporal matters, just as he is succeeding and prospering spiritually. And secondly, John prays that Gaius' temporal well-being will match his spiritual well-being. John knows that Gaius is a spiritually mature believer, a winner believer, a grace-righteous believer. He knows that he's the best of the best spiritually. So John prays that Gaius' temporal well-being will match his spiritual well-being, which is phenomenal. And then we have, hey, psuke, su, that's your soul. Your soul, and then euodao repeated, is succeeding and prospering. So here we have the verse now. Dear friend, I pray that you may succeed and prosper in everything and be in good health, just as your soul is succeeding and prospering. This is great. You can just see, John loves this guy. Maybe the best friend he has. Dear friend, I pray that you may succeed and prosper in everything and be in good health, just as your soul is succeeding and prospering. So, this tells us, one, Gaius is a spiritually mature believer. He is a spiritually mature believer. Two, the believer who attains spiritual maturity is classified as a winner believer. Now, this term is a translation of ha nikon. This is an articular participle of the verb nikao. Ha, N-I-K, long O-N. Ha, nikon. And the best nikao means to be the victor. And ha, nikon is a substantival use of the participle. And if you translate it like a noun, you translate it the victor or the winner. And the best translation of that is the winner. So the believer who attains spiritual maturity is classified as a winner believer. Ha nikon. That's in Revelation 2:26 and Revelation 3:4. Three, Gaius is a winner believer who glorifies God to the maximum. Gaius is a winner believer who glorifies God to the maximum. And I expect that to be true of every one of you. There's no reason why it isn't true of every single one of you. You all, I expect you all to be winner believers who glorify God to the maximum. 4, Gaius is an invisible hero who has maximum impact in human history and subsequently glorifies God to the maximum. This is what we need in America right now. We need Gaiuses, lots and lots of Gaiuses in Client Nation USA. Gaius is an invisible hero who has maximum impact in human history and subsequently glorifies God to the maximum. 5, as a spiritually mature believer, Gaius is blessed with the entire greater grace blessing package. God has a greater grace blessing package for every spiritual mature believer, every winner believer. It's a greater grace blessing package. It's not just one category of blessing. There are 9 categories in this greater grace blessing package. 9 categories. Do you know them all? No, I know. You're not supposed to talk in church, okay? But some of you are going, whew. Let's see, maybe number 1. I don't know. So God has for every winner believer, when you reach spiritual maturity, a greater grace blessing package. And these 9 categories of blessings are true of Gaius. They're true of the Apostle John. They're true of every winner believer. These are the blessings that God pours out on you. Greater grace blessing package. So, you want to get going. Get moving. Grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. Advance to maturity. Have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart so that God can pour out on you these fantastic greater grace blessing in this greater grace blessing package. Well, there are 9 categories in the greater grace blessing package. Category number 1, spiritual blessings. Spiritual blessings. And these are absolutely phenomenal. If you are a winner believer, spiritually mature believer, you understand, you know these. You enjoy these moment by moment, day by day in your life. And for you, you have Christmas every single day. You have Thanksgiving every single day because you have these spiritual blessings. So, in these spiritual blessings, first of all, spiritual blessing includes maximum awareness of life, maximum capacity for life. Spiritual blessing includes maximum capacity for life. Jesus Christ said, I came that you might have life and might have it abundantly. I came that you might have life and might have it abundantly. You are very much alive and you savor every moment of life, whether you are in adversity or in prosperity. It doesn't make any difference. You have zest for life and an enjoyment of every moment of life, regardless of what it brings. This zest for life excludes being depressed. If you're depressed, you don't have this spiritual blessing of capacity for life. So spiritual blessing excludes being depressed. No depression. It excludes being upset by the ups and downs of life. That's not the spiritual blessing of greater grace blessings. Secondly, two, spiritual blessings include maximum contentment. Contentment and tranquility and happiness in life. Regardless of your situation, regardless of your circumstances. These spiritual blessings include maximum contentment and tranquility and happiness in your life, regardless of your situation, regardless of your circumstances. Third, spiritual blessing means maximum use of God's problem-solving devices. You see, God has given us His problem-solving devices. But because you're a spiritually mature believer, you know them. You know God's problem-solving devices. You've learned them. You believe them. They're out on the flat line of your soul, forward line of troops. And they're there for you to apply to every situation and every circumstance that you face in life. God's problem-solving devices. He's given you everything you need to clear the spiritual hurdles of undeserved suffering for blessing, which the winner believer also receives. So spiritual blessing means maximum use of God's problem-solving devices. These problem-solving devices are used in varying degrees until you reach spiritual maturity. And then you use them to the maximum. The use of God's problem-solving devices gives you an edge on life which no one else has. In a moment's time, you can use occupation with Jesus Christ. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ has made Himself at home in your heart. What a fantastic blessing that is. The Lord Jesus Christ has made Himself at home in your heart, and you enjoy Him moment by moment, day by day, occupation with Christ. You love the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. He's the number one love of your life, the living and true God, Jesus Christ. You have a personal sense of destiny. You have a self-contained happiness. You share the happiness of God. You have personal love for God the Father. You have impersonal love for all mankind, the good, the bad, and the ugly. You have doctrinal orientation and grace orientation. You have the faith rest life. You have the filling of the Spirit. You have rebound. All of which produce a fantastic confidence and unique and exclusive to spiritual maturity. The fourth spiritual blessing includes maximum blessings in the relationships of your life. Maximum blessings in the relationships of your life. In your relationship with God, in your relationships with people, in your relationships with yourself. Spiritual blessings include maximum blessings in the relationships of your life, with God, with people, with self. Your relationship with God is absolutely fantastic and is based upon a tremendous confidence that while you have never seen God, you know God. You know Him, you understand Him as He wants to be understood. You know Him through the Word of God. It includes you will be blessed in your contacts with all kinds of people. Those who love you and those who are antagonistic toward you. And people can no longer disturb you or cause you to be disillusioned and full of self-pity. And third, you have a relationship with self that is honest and virtuous. You have the uniform of honor on in your soul. And you live your life by the royal family honor code in your soul. You have that code of honor in your own heart. And then fifth, some of the spiritual blessings specific to spiritual maturity include the following. And I'm going to give you 11. So point five here. Some of the spiritual blessings specific to spiritual maturity include the following. I'm going to give you 11. One, maximum contentment. Maximum contentment. And I'm going to take you to passages, not right now, but in this study, passages repeated again and again and again, that the winner believer is content with what he has. Whether he has little or whether he has a lot, it makes no difference at all. He has absolute contentment in his heart. Maximum contentment is the stability of happiness. Maximum contentment is the stability of happiness. Secondly, maximum tranquility. Maximum tranquility is the backbone of happiness. Maximum tranquility is the backbone of happiness. Third, maximum poise. Maximum poise is the overt manifestation of happiness. The overt manifestation of happiness. Fourth, maximum capacity for life, for love, and for happiness. Maximum capacity for life, for love, and for happiness. And this is having a zest for life simply because you are alive regardless of your circumstances. Your consciousness of being alive in relationship to God gives you a zest for life that no adversity, that no suffering can disturb. Even in suffering, and the winner believer has undeserved suffering for blessing, even in suffering, this blessing is never lost. Even in intense, undeserved suffering for blessing, this blessing is never lost. Five, maximum production in Christian service from true motivation. You have, through the filling of the Spirit and through the Word of God, the power of the Word of God in your heart, you have maximum divine good production. And that maximum divine good production is described as gold, silver, and precious stones in 1 Corinthians 3, verses 11 to 15. Six, you have maximum function of your spiritual gift. You all have at least one spiritual gift. You might have two or three spiritual gifts. But we all have at least one spiritual gift. So sixth is maximum function of your spiritual gift. And when you attain spiritual maturity, don't worry about what your spiritual gift is. Unless it's pastor, teacher, or evangelist, you got to know that. But if it's not pastor, teacher, and God will make that clear to you, God will see to it that you are using the spiritual gift that you have. And it will honor and glorify God in a most fantastic way. And I have seen all these various spiritual gifts work in the people in Upland Bible Church, and it's beautiful. Absolutely fantastic. And then seven, you have a personal sense of destiny. A personal sense of destiny. You cannot attain spiritual maturity without having a personal sense of destiny. You know that one day in the future you're going to die. I mean, apart from the rapture. You know you're going to die. And knowing that you have no control at all over the time or the manner of your death gives you great confidence. For death and resurrection are strictly the Lord's victory. And you have totally rest in the Lord's victory. And then, 8, maximum virtue. You have the royal family honor code that you live your life by. You have put on the uniform of honor in your soul. You have grace righteousness in your soul. The uniform of honor. You live your life by the royal family honor code. 9, as an invisible hero, you have invisible but real impact. As an invisible hero, you have invisible but real impact in 3 categories: personal impact, national impact, and international impact. Personal impact, national impact, international impact. 10, the ability to interpret historical trends. You have the ability to interpret historical trends and to evaluate life from the divine viewpoint. And 11, the fulfillment of these great passages on winner believers. Now I want you to turn, we'll look at these. We may close with this this evening. But turn over, first of all, to Philippians 4. Philippians 4. Your spiritual blessings in this greater grace blessing package that God has for every winner believer, these will be fulfilled. Philippians chapter 4, verse 12. I know, and I is the Apostle Paul, as a winner believer, as a spiritually mature believer, I know how to get along with humble means. And I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. And I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. That's the winner believer. This will be a reality in your life. Turn over in 1 Timothy 6. 1 Timothy 6. We're going to start at verse 6. 1 Timothy 6. And you might have the word godliness. It's Elsebeia in the Greek. Very important word. Very technical word. Eusebeia. Elsebeia. And the best translation, this is the spiritual life. But the spiritual life actually is a means of great gain when it is accompanied by contentment. Contentment. That's a part of happiness. Sharing the happiness of God. Self-contained happiness. But the spiritual life actually is a means of great gain when accompanied by contentment. Plus H. Verse 7. For we have brought nothing into the world, so we cannot take anything out of it either. And if we have food and clothing, with these we shall be content. This is the winner believer. If we have food and clothing, with these we shall be content. Now, turn over to Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13, starting at verse 5. Let your way of life be free from the love of money. Ooh. Boy, that characterizes our society today. Everybody's just out there for money, money, money. It's ruined athletics, ruined college athletics. Now we're paying college athletics. How much are you going to pay me? Well, they'll go to the big schools where they can get millions of dollars to play college sports. Just me, 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 me. Money, 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 money. Let your way of life be free from the love of money, being content with what you have. Are you content with what you have? Being content with what you have. For he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. So that we confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What shall man do to me? Well, these are great passages that this is the mental attitude of the spiritually mature believer, as a part of his spiritual blessing package. This is a part of the winner believer's spiritual blessing package. This is his mental attitude. This is your thinking. When you have this, like, this is phenomenal, fantastic. You have the most phenomenal inner happiness, contentment, no matter what's going on, whether you're in prosperity or adversity, doesn't make any difference. You have this greater grace blessing package, and we're just looking at, there are 9 categories in this greater grace blessing package. We haven't even studied the first one, spiritual blessing, but we're getting a good start. But you're going to have to come back to go back to number 6 now. Point 6. All right. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.